First Timothy, yet? First Timothy 6, 8 to 10. Please, well, somebody else should go to 2 Corinthians 9, 7 to 8. We'll do that. 2 Corinthians 9, 7 to 8. What we're doing now is First Timothy 6, 8 to 10. Okay, Benjamin.
If we have food and clothing, we will be happy with that. People who want to get rich are tempted. They shall into a trap. They are tripped up by wanting many foolish and harmful things. Those who live like that are dragged down by what they do. They are destroyed and die. Love for money causes all kinds of evil. Some people want to get rich. They have wandered away from the faith. They would have wounded themselves with many sorrows. Should I continue?
Okay, no, that's fine. Thank you. All right, who do we have on 2 Corinthians? Okay.
2 Corinthians 9, verse 7.
Yes, 7 to 8.
7 to 8. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work.
Okay. Thank you very much. So, you're welcome one more time. Mrs. Omotola, thank you very much. Can I call you Omotola? Can I just call you Omotola? Okay. I just got the ticket to do that now. Okay, thank you very much. All right, you're welcome to this session. So let's start with this question, right? Maybe let's start with what is not a good perception or a good relationship with money. Maybe let's start with that. What do you think?
Good morning, church. All right, before I answer that question, first of all, please, all the things you said about me, they're not necessarily true. Like, I'm not a resource person.
Yeah.
Everybody wink, has wink. Relationship with money. Yes, I'm a business person. Yes, that's correct. But that resource part, please, I don't know. So the expectation is not too high. I'm just going to be talking from my study of the Bible and my personal experience with money. All right, so what is not a good relationship?
Yes, what is not a good relationship or a good perception?
Okay, another thing I'll also say is that there are no hard and fast rules to money. But as Christians, there are ways we need to understand money. So what I would say is not a good relationship with money is from my understanding and from what I see, oftentimes, guilt is attached to money. That's what I've noticed. You know, people make people feel guilty. You know, you feel like, okay, all the money you have is supposed to either maybe give it to your parents or give it to church or give it to the poor people. So when you are using money for yourself, you just feel there's this, you know, as the church of God being completed, as my parents, have they eaten? So that's what I see as not a good relationship with money. Do not be guilty about money. What I would advise is we should be responsible about money. So in my own, how I'll answer the question is that a good relationship with money is not guilt.
Okay, what you said now, it took me back to, and you all don't roast me here, okay? And I know there's a particular person I'm referring to with this when I'm saying you people should not judge me with this one now. But what you said, no, I'm pointing here now, so it can be anybody here. I remember when I was still in secondary school, I was one of those times where I think of, you know, how I want my life to be and how when I get money, I'll do this. And in my mind, I was just thinking of how to furnish my house, how my house would be. PS2 just came out at the time. You know, I was already thinking maybe a gamer. And I stopped right in the middle of it. I said, so souls are dying outside. Like, people are perishing. There's no money for evangelism. And all you can think of now is you and yourself. And honestly, that minute, I was trying to, you know, just hide away from how I felt. But what you said now really, really brought it up for me. And It's really interesting to know that some people have that kind of feeling. But I think I want you to expatiate a little bit on the guilt part now.
Okay.
So what you're saying, if I understand you, is that you shouldn't have, don't be, you should think a little more about yourself. Is that what you're trying to say?
No, what I'm saying is just that don't be guilty about money. In the sense that, because that's, your relationship with money should be about responsibility. You get, just like what you said now, you wanted to furnish your house, you wanted to buy a PS2, and then you remembered, oh, okay, souls are dying. One thing we must remember is that even Jesus said in the Bible that the poor you always have with you. You cannot save everybody. And you cannot, the money, you're not the richest, as it's in this room, the richest person in the world is not in this room right now. So that means that right now, the current richest person in this room is not in this, as in the richest person in the world right now is not in this room. I'm not saying in the next 10 minutes, but right now, not the first five are in this room. So point is, no, I'm just saying five. I'm just, you know, 1 million, but I'm going to count 1 million. It's possible. But point is, let's not be, Jesus has already died for everybody. So there is no second Messiah. There's nothing you are going to do that will make you a second Matthiah or a second Messiah. So point is, I don't know how to, you know, maybe nail the, but point, don't, because I noticed that a lot of times, I know we don't do that in Grace House, thankfully, but a lot of, some churches have that way of making people feel guilty about the money they earn. Okay, in the beginning of the year, bring this, you must pay your tithe. If you don't pay your tithe, so many quotes that go around, your things will be tight for you because you're not paying your tithe. If you are not, check your offering.
If you are suffering, check your offering,
you know. Sometimes, honestly, those things are not from the Bible. They're not from God. And thank God that we have the Bible. It's the manual for Christians. If we study the Bible, we'll see Jesus' relationship with money. Jesus did not, when I say responsibility, Jesus, if you look at Jesus' lifestyle, Jesus never hoarded money, but he was never in need. When there was a need for one of the quizzes we did, when he needed to feed people, he knew what to do. When he needed to pay tax, he knew what to do. But and if we look at it, remember that by the time Jesus was crucified, they shared every other thing, but they could not share his garments. Because if we were to look at it now, why would they not be able to tear somebody's garments? Because it was, quote unquote, a designer. So Jesus was not suffering all in the name of preaching the gospel, you know, or doing things. But so that I'm saying, there must be a balance. Don't feel guilty. Don't feel like, oh, this money, every money I get, I must give it to. Like I gave several examples. It can be our family. It can be our church. It can be the poor people. Because just feel like, oh, there are so many poor people. The truth is, the poor will always be with us. That's just the truth. So what I always say is that just know that you have your own sphere of influence, people that you know that no matter what, as long as people are near you, you can always help them with your money, because you cannot help everybody. Sometimes I might be driving and somebody's begging, or people are asking for money. I might not really want to give you 20 naira or 200 naira, but the next minute I might know somebody that just calls me like, oh, Mrs. Miles, this, and I will send you 20K or 50K. Now, you'll be wondering, why didn't you give that person 500? But because that person is not in my sphere of influence. So I do not feel, like I said, imagine if I start giving 500 naira to all the people I see on the road. Do you get it? So point is responsibility. What works for you might be different. You might want to just give 500 naira to everybody on the road. And then when people who are in your circle, then they call you and then you've shared maybe 10,000 naira on the road and you only have 5,000, then you can't help this person. So I feel that one of the guiding principles I live by is do not spread your impact so thin that you do not make, not, do not spread yourself so thin that your impact is shallow. You get, so don't know 100 people and then you're doing 5,000 for everybody and like, nobody is well satisfied. But that's, you know, 20 people and then you are, when they know that, when they call you, these 20 people, if 20 people are praying for you from the bottom of their heart or are useful to the world because of you, better than 100 people that are not even useful because you have spread yourself so thin and then your impact is shallow. So that's just it.
Okay. Thank you very much for that. So let's change the context a little, mm-hmm. right? But to buttress what you just said earlier, so what do you think? Can you give us like 3 or 4 biggest errors you see people make when it comes to money? Now, to put it in context, it's going to be more difficult when it's their money, because now it's a personal thing, isn't it? So, what do you think are some of the errors people make about money, maybe when it comes to, as it pertains to maybe investments, maybe to savings? We'll get to investments and savings and growing money, you know, subsequently. But let's just do that. What are some of the general errors? You've just given us one of the errors. where is the relationship with money? Where is the guilt relationship with money? So what are some other errors that you think in your own experience you've seen people make?
Okay, all right. Another thing, okay, one way I see people with money is that, you know, like I said, we're Christians. So the truth is, we're Christians. So everything we do should, you know, but there's no division. We often say that there's no division of secular and Christian life. It's one. So whatever you, if you can't have good testimonies in your workplace, there's no point coming to pretend in church. Just be yourself, you know, just show yourself. So one of the things is that people often feel like you have to hoard money. Money is a tool, you know, it should be used. And money is never going to be enough. As we increase in our earnings, so our wants. Miles always, you know, makes fun of me, like, oh, maybe like 4 years ago, I'll say, if we have this amount of money, I'll be satisfied. And then 3 years comes, and I'm like, if we have that amount of money, because the more you earn, the more you're, as in, it's just the law, like, it's just normal. I'm sure everybody can, you know, testify to it. Maybe when we're in school, like 10 years ago, you cannot think of buying any, if someone says, oh, this phone is 100,000, you'd be like, as in, like, it would be beyond you, because you're not earning there, so you're not in that capacity. You get, so point is, money is never going to be enough. So do not have a, you know, you don't need to hoard money. Okay, let me just keep this money so that it will never finish. Let me not do anything, or let me not do anything with it. Money is a tool. Use it. Use it for yourself. Use it for other people. Use it for the work of God. Use it for, you know, for things that, you know, would advance. You know, in Bible, in Proverbs 23, it says that, Proverbs 23.
Maybe let's go there. Four. Maybe let's take it from scripture. Proverbs what?
23.
Okay, can somebody from the audience please help us read that?
Okay, preferably NKJV, please.
Proverbs 23:4.
Yeah. 4 and 5. Yeah, 4 and 5.
Do not overwork to be rich because of your own understanding. Cease. If you set your eyes on that which is not, on which is certainly make themselves things, then fly in.
All right, good. So he said, do not overwork yourself to be rich, you know. Will you set your eyes on that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings. Like I said, we're Christians. So we're just having one perspective to money, and that is a Christian approach to money. So we don't need to feel like, oh, this money is for me. The Bible says that, you know, in Deuteronomy, I'll have to check the verse. We can read it later. But it says that it is God who gives you power to make wealth. So it is not, it's just that we're a channel that the money is passing through. And there are different channels, you know. There's the tap, when you open it, some water is coming out. And then when you go to the stream, there's one that you just put buckets, you know. And then you go to the Atlantic Ocean, and, you know. So the channels are bigger, depending on your capacity. Because, so, just always remember that it is God who gives us power to make wealth. So that spirit of hoarding should not be, don't be afraid to spend the money. You know, the Bible says that, for riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away like an eagle towards heaven. If we look at it in today's context, keep money in your bank. Somebody scams you and takes all your money. What are you going to do? Do you get the point? Like, nobody wants that to happen, but these are the things that we're dealing with today. So there, you know, one of the things we can get rid of is the fact that, oh, let me just keep this money so that tomorrow I'll still take it back to responsibility, not guilt, you know. Let's not hoard money and just feel like, oh, I have to just keep all this money and not do anything with it because I don't know what tomorrow is bringing. You know, life responds to what you're thinking. If you're praying for rain, if you are waiting for rainy days will come because you have saved this money for rainy days, and then they will come to take away their share. Okay, then another thing too is, we don't need to leave. And, you know, we're talking, like I said, we don't have the richest people in the room here. So if somebody is very wealthy and, like, you know, they have so much money, of course, they can do anything with that money. Like, let me use myself as an example. When I'm planning events, I do not enforce any kind of budget on any of my clients because I deal with different kinds of clients and different budgets. So I've done weddings that are big. People want to spend, I've had clients that spend maybe over $1 million in their dresses, I will not bat an eyelid because I know that maybe there's like $25 million to spend on this wedding. But if I have a client that's working with $3 million and she's trying to make some decisions, I would advise her, like, you know, don't don't spend beyond this, because it's looking at what we have in total. Taking this certain percentage for this particular item is not wise. So same thing I would say, that we don't need to do things, we don't need to, you know, impress people. I know, because there's prayer pressure. Well, let's check, we're in the world for now. So until we go to heaven, then maybe there will be no prayer pressure, I don't know. But for now, there's prayer pressure. There's a need to feel like, oh, I'm wearing the latest things, or I'm wearing new things. So what I can advise is that people, you don't need to keep buying. From my own personal way of spending money, I'd rather buy one expensive thing that I can use, you know, for a long time. And one thing, personally, I would not buy something expensive that I cannot wear every day. That's my own personal rule of money. No, let's give an example. Hair, that's something that ladies have to deal with. You know, we want the bone straight. Now, you buy a bone straight hair for maybe 200K. Like I said, I'm talking to people within a budget here, right? If you have too much money, no problem buying bone straight. But if you know that, okay, I need bone straight. But now, bone straight, when you buy bone straight today, you can only wear bone straight for like 1 week before people start saying, you will not change your hair. You get it? So that's the thing. Don't do the one that would...
Yes.
No, Pastor, yes. We'll come to that.
So,
we'll come to that.
No, seriously, you know, to one think, week. Yes, because after 1 week, your friends will be like, this is your hair. You have not changed it now. You get it. So, point is, always arrange your finances in a way that, let's give an example. If you buy a phone, nobody can tell you that you're using this phone every day. So it's okay that you spend some good money on a phone. But of course, you have to take care of it, because it's the riches that can fly away. Somebody picks it in along. Goodbye. So I believe you guys understand what I'm saying. Buy good things. This dress, for instance, I'm wearing, I got this dress in 2013. But I have worn it over, and as long as I don't burn it with iron, you know, I will wear it till it's not more my size. You get, and then I'll give it to someone. The person will still wear it for a while. So the point is, buy good things, but you don't be under the pressure to keep buying things. And then today you want to buy, so you go and buy a dress, and then tomorrow you want to buy another dress. And then just, like I said, just make yourself influence few. If you have too many friends, you have 100 people inviting you for a wedding, buying ashebi up and down. Ashebi that you cannot wear again after a few times. Because, for instance, now, Stagwish wearing an ashebi because she has to, because I just spent so much money buying ashebi, so she feels she has to wear it. But by next day, she can't wear this dress again. Because she's like, even the people that got the wedding, they've forgotten that this was the ashebi. You get the point. So limit the number of people you know. My husband always says now, I don't call everybody friends. Like, no, this person is my friend. No, this person is not your friend. Because the more friends you have, the more people you know, the more money you have to spend. Because somebody's getting married, my ashebi is 30,000. It's the only you that will know we're amongst all your friends. And that person will get married, ashebi is 30,000. Those people that got married, they will have baby. You have to buy something for their baby. When they have another baby again, you're not going to buy something. So just, you know, as in, honestly, that is where all these things are. Because you want to live up to expectation. And that's expected of you, you know. But so just keep your sphere of influence slim. So that
you will spend too much money.
Yes.
Okay, let me just cut you in here, because all these things you've said has, you know, there are light bulbs in my head opening already, but we'll take it as, consecutively as we can. One thing I heard you say was that money is a tool.
Yes.
So money is an instrument.
Mm-hmm.
Money can be defined as a means to an end.
Mm-hmm.
Can you say that? Would that be an appropriate...
Yes, like one of the games in the Bible, I said money answers all things, you know. Money is a security.
Okay, so if somebody stops us on the street, or maybe if you know that money is a tool, for instance, that will now mean there are the right ways to use a tool, mm-hmm. and there are the wrong ways to use a tool.
Mm, yeah, true.
Case in point, you have a spanner or you have a screwdriver. No, let me use what women can understand. I meant that in a very churchy sense. So I meant that. But how many women know? If I say spanner now, how many women actually can tell me?
13, 12, 9.
Okay, so let's use spanner. She spanner is what you people want to hear. You have a spanner. A spanner is an instrument, yeah?
Yeah.
And you can use that spanner. Elijah can use that spanner and beat his drums. And there will be a measure of sound, isn't it? Isn't it? There will be a measure of sound. But what will happen to the instrument by the time he's done? What will be left of the drums when he's done? So you can see, Okay, I can use this mic also. And I can use this mic and beat the drums also. But by the time I'm done, what will happen to the drum? What will happen to the mic? You'll buy another one. So, okay, so please remind me not to use myself in any illustrations going forward. So money is a tool. That means you must have the right, if you don't use it well, you won't get the maximum benefit of what it is supposed to do to you. So let me now preempt and ask this question now. The topic of today's conversation is more problems, more money. It's a question. What do you say about that question? What do you think about it? Is it really more money, more problems? And let me just put this to and say, just like what you were saying, that sometimes you discuss with your husband and you say, if we have this amount of money, we'll be happier, right? Only for you to, maybe something happens, you'd make that money. And it's like the goalpost has shifted. So is it really true that the more money you have, the more problems it brings? What's your opinion about that?
Okay, I think so. But maybe not problems in the sense of problem, but more money, more responsibilities, truly. Because once you have more money, let's give an example. We're Nigerians, so we're used to, we have this system of our parents take care of us and then we're meant to take care of them, you know, that kind of system. So when parents send us to school, when we're in university, you notice that most people, most normal family, I don't know about any other family, parents won't ask their children for money when they're still in school, right? As in, like, because they're the ones still taking care of you. Then after school, they're praying you get a job. Maybe you're doing NYC, they know that the money they're collecting is small. They are collecting small. So their request becomes small, small. And send me credit now. That's why it's small, because they know I just want to just any Alawi. After Alawi, God helps you, you get a good job. And then it moves like, our roof is leaking, you know, they don't have, because more money actually leads to more problems. And then for us too, you also see that more money you earn, the more your wants. So you feel like, okay, when you were NYC, like you just feel like, oh, let me use myself as an example again. When we were doing NYC, my sister and I, we used to live in Gadua in a sublet, so like we took one of the rooms. We were drinking pure water, we were very happy. We thought that's life was golden. My sister used to take along. I never took along because of my paranoia. But my sister was the queen of along. Like, she could jump from Gudu, come down. She knows how to get anywhere. At that year, like maybe like 10, yeah, about 10 years ago now, you know. So then we thought everything, you know, life limit, everything was fine and all that. But as we moved to another phase of our life, money. I'm like, before then, Amontola, I said I will never travel out of this country. What am I looking for and everything? You know, this country, everything I need. The first year in 2013, when I got, I had done one job that was just okay. But when I got a new job in 2013, that year I went to get visa and passports, and I traveled. But not because I even sat down and thought about it, though. Because I'm like, money, that's the next thing to do. Let's travel. The truth is, more money, more problems. And that's where responsibility still comes in, because if you're not responsible about the way you use money, then you can abuse it.
So when you say more money, more problems, does it necessarily mean that when you have more money, you just have issues? Or are we saying it with regards to maybe responsibilities, just like what you were trying to say, the sphere of your influence when you have more money is going to tend to want to increase, or request for more, or your quest for more?
Yeah, because it's both ways. Issues will come, more money, because, you know, Yoruba people used to say that, I'll just say it in English, but what they mean is that it is not hard work that kills, it is joy that kills, you get? So it's in the quest when you have money, you know, that's when you like, I'm going to the club. And then you go to the club. Please just understand the context in which I'm speaking. Because you have money now, you can afford club. So you go to the club, you buy a lot of things, spend it, and then you're going home in the night. And when you, as you are leaving, police, they're always out in the night, right? To check, you know, for security reasons. So between the time you leave the club and maybe the distance to your house, you might meet like 6 or 7 police points. And what does that mean? You're going to be paying money. So you see that it's the money that you have that's before putting you in this trouble to spend. I hope you guys understand the context I'm putting in. So if someone that does not have money usually sits in their house, and a problem will hardly come and meet you in your house. That's just the truth. But once you are outside, as you are going to supermarket, you have money to put fuel in your car. You went to supermarket, window shopping became 2 nylon bags of things you do not necessarily need right now. So money, you know, it leads to that. And then in terms of our want to, when you have more money, you require a better lifestyle for yourself, right? So the more money you have, it's like, I think I can do more for myself. So initially, like I said, my son and I were living in a sublet. From sublet rent was cheap or cheaper then. Then after that, I'm like, why are we living? So I can't believe in all these people, blah, 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 shiny sitting room. Then next thing, you move to a bigger house. And a bigger house requires more rent. So you see how that works. So the more money you have, the more, because naturally, as human beings, our lifestyles dictate that we look the part of the money we are in, but not necessarily, actually. But that's how we feel. Nigerians are ostentatious, naturally. So you look the part. And that's where you now start trying to connect with you go and join old school association, where everybody's getting married, and they're saying, oh yeah, contribution, this one, that one. So as you are getting more, as your money is increasing, you can't be using to look for the things that will take more. But you don't even really know that these are the things that kind of like unconscious behaviors that we just do. And then we come back, but this money, how come it's not enough? When I was earning 70K per month, I was doing okay. Now I'm earning 200. This money is flying. Now the things you are doing with 200, even 70K, did not dream about it. You know, so that's where that comes in.
Okay, so let me ask you this question. Let me bring it home a little closer. Money, wealth, riches. Is there any difference between the three? What's the line? What do you think? Money, wealth. So we're talking about money a lot. But I want to open it a little more. Are the three the same? I was in a conversation with somebody and we're trying to distinguish money, wealth, and riches. So what do you think?
Well, first of all, there are three different words. Let's start from there, okay. Right? I know Peter is our English maestro. Money, English, money, wealth, and riches. There are three different words, so they definitely mean different things. Money, first of all, I think is the physical, yes, the currency we're spending, naira, dollars, yen, and all. So that's money. So the money that is in your bank, the one in your pocket, the one in your bag. So that's, I think that's money. Okay. Wealth now has to do with, I believe it will be wider to include maybe properties. Wealth will not always be only be money or monetary, you know? Yes, please. Yes, it could be friends, it could be a connection, you know? Yes, because sometimes you may not have the money you need, but if you need to raise 10 million, you need people to call. So that's, you know, you're about to say that, sorry. Yoruba. But I'm saying it in English, but I'm just like, you're about to say that people who had your cover clothes. Yes. Well, your clothes. So sometimes you may not have that money. I'm sure a lot of us, because of different things that we're doing currently, you know that I don't have this money, but I think I call five of my friends, that money will sit on my account. So wealth is not only about money. It's your level of influence. And of course, it can also do the things money can buy. Riches would be synonymous to wealth. You know, riches, money, value. Well, I think that's just the chart. I think maybe wealth and riches can be kind of synonymous. Money is just basically the currency.
But is money the primary tool to getting wealth and riches? Is it, can you have wealth and riches without having money? If you say wealth is the things that are associated with money, maybe the
influence. Should we just use dictionary?
Okay, fine. If you want us to use a dictionary, but is that what it means? Does it mean if you don't have money, you can't be wealthy and you can't be rich?
No. The thing is, if you don't have money, your wealthiness will be defined. You know, I'm sure there's a scale of spectrum, because you would have, no matter what, there's nobody. Even Benjamin, he's not working, so I know he doesn't have money that is his own, but he's well. Give Pastor Muiwa back his change. So the point is, he will have people that are, you know, that are in his clique. Yeah, if he wants to do a birthday party now, he knows people that will call. Yeah, he will call. No. I mean, you think he will not give people a guest list? He will give you a guest list, exactly. Wondering, where do you know this? So you see, so no matter everybody's level, there must be some amount of wealth, because the truth is, the amount of wealth somebody in someone that's earning 50K per month, the kind of money you would need, in fact, for anything, it should not be the same amount of money that someone that's earning 1 million. So you can't have the same problems. That's just the truth. So because someone that's earning 50K cannot come and tell you, Boradola, my rent is due. Say, no problem, let me help him, because you're thinking it's 30K. And like, how much your rent? 1 million, no. Right. Did you get my point? Like,
what does it correlate?
He said, oh, okay, yeah. So you're even bigger than me. So that's the thing. So wealth, and we won't tie money and wealth together. Okay, the dictionary says having a great deal of money, resources, or assets.
Is wealth.
Yes. And then rich. Like I said, wealth and riches can be synonymous. So, and then puts rich. Like, if you're wealthy, you're rich. You get. So, affluent, moneyed. So, great deal of money. Of course, you must have money, resources, or assets.
Okay, you must have a great deal of. So, wealth is just abundance of resources.
Yes, exactly. Let's just that resource can be people.
Yes,
can be it can people, be animals.
It can be money.
Because let's look at in the Old Testament. These people didn't have the money, but they had cattle. Yeah. You know, they had men that are trained. Abraham had men that are trained. Okay. When it was time for war, they were ready. So that was resources, and that makes him a wealthy man.
So somebody like Abraham may not have had the cash.
Yes.
But because the Bible says he was rich in cattle.
Exactly.
He was rich in houseboys.
Exactly. People that are trained in his own house. You know, over 300 men that are trained in his own house. So that's resources.
So at this point, I want to ask, is God against the Christian acquiring wealth? Is God... is there supposed to be a kind of moderation as a child of God? Can you aspire to be a billionaire, for instance? Or is there some, no, just God doesn't want you to blow. God doesn't want you to blow. God just wants you to be moderate. So is God against the acquisition of money, of wealth, or of riches?
Okay, truly, I can't speak for God, right? But what I know is that...
But according to scripture.
From the scriptures, exactly. Yes. What I know from the scriptures is that God, like, you know, the Bible says in Deuteronomy, it says God will give us the power to make wealth. You know, the words were used intentionally. So God is not against any of our ambitions to, you know, to be wealthy, but there must be moderation. You know, even, I can't remember the scripture, but I think it was Peter or James, which would be, I think it's James, that said that, let us not trust in uncertain riches, you know. So point is, and Bible says you cannot love God and mammon. So you can't do the two. And God is a jealous God. So he said, do not have any other God beside me. So if you are going to make money, just know that there must be moderation for it. God is not a gift. Because we need money in the world.
Yes, because I was about to now ask, if you say there's moderation, but there's also a lot of pressure
on us to support
the church.
Exactly, because we need the money. And that's why God gives us that, you know, power. But one thing we must understand is that we are stewards. You know, the earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof. So everything that comes our way, like I said earlier, it's about channels. So God gives you just an opportunity, you know. God gives you this money for so many reasons, not just for yourself, but for good works, like scripture we usually read in church, you know. So God is not against us making money, but I believe what God will be against.
Making it in a scatter, like the money is much.
Because whatever it is that is giving you that source, for instance, now I'm an event planner, right? So let me use myself as an example. So I plan events, and then I keep planning events, and then money is coming. It's God that gave me that, you know, talent in the first place to be able to do this. So God cannot be against what he gave me. If not, everybody would have been an event planner. If it was just supposed to be everybody would have had the same talent. We'll all be pastors, or we'll all be, you know, architects or logistics people. But God gave everybody different talents so that you can, you know, hold your own spots. So God is not against us making money, but the means, and that's where the scripture comes back. That's the Timothy scripture. It says the love of money. You know, it's not, the problem is not money. Money is innocent, just like quote unquote, the devil is on his own. It's not the devil that is forced to go and do anything, but it's easy to blame the devil. So money is innocent. Money is in the air to be made. So it is the love of money. It is the worshipping money. It is the trying to make money at any means, like Ponzi schemes, for instance.
Okay, that's what I'm saying. Just so, what's that love? What do you think is the definition of what? When will it be in the life of a Christian when it can be said, this guy, he loves money?
Yeah,
since the Bible says the love of it is the root of.
Yes, because for a Christian, you will know when you love money, because you know that maybe you are doing some things that you cannot say out.
Okay.
You get, you know, sometimes people share testimonies, but they don't really tell us the process. Just, I woke up and I saw $5 billion in my account. Okay. Do you know? So anything that, you know, you cannot come and tell people openly. Like that, I just give an example of the Ponzi scheme, for instance. Now, Ponzi scheme, I know that can be get rich, quick riches and all that. But now we know that we are getting, you are registered passing your boundary as a Christian, because when you do Ponzi scheme, you are praying, you fast more than you were fasting before, because like this morning let's just come back. When your peace has gone from you, you know that this thing has become, you know, the love of it. Because work, you know, even the Bible encourages work, hard work, work hard. Money comes from hard work. That's what's the truth. From working, you know, doing, using your talents. But Ponzi scheme, I don't know which of our talents God gave us we're using. We're just trying to be scammers, you know. So, but point is.
So Ponzi scheme is bad. So is it wrong? Is it wrong for a child of God? So after all, he's not putting a gun to anybody's head. After all, he's not hacking anybody's account.
Mm.
So for a child of God, I mean, it's his money. He can decide he wants to be in it or not. So what do you think?
No, the thing with Ponzi scheme is that it is not a victimless crime or activity.
So it is
people
a crime.
Always lose at the end. And if as Christians we're comfortable with being parties or partakers of what makes people lose at the end, then we need to redefine.
So it's the broader picture.
Yes, the broader picture. Because people always lose at the end of Ponzi scheme. Always. There's always a problem. Some people have ended up in police station because of this on this matter. So as in no, seriously, like it's
so whatever means you are trying to make money. Always look at the broader picture.
Yes, always look at the broader
in
picture.
In the process of making the money, I hope somebody is not getting
going to get hurt. Exactly.
Somebody's not going to be, you know, in trouble or something like that.
Yes, and as in truly, you just have to think about it like that. Like, this money that I'm making, if you don't feel, it's not like you must suffer and labor so hard to make money, but money, you know, that's why, like, for instance, when you see people spending money lavishly, you're like, this people didn't work hard for this money. Because the truth is, we see people, we know rich people, at least by news, maybe not by association, like Dangote, for instance. We know that he's, like, one of the richest black men. But we've never had to see Dangote spend money lavishly or irresponsibly. So you see that this person is making this money from the sweat of other men. You know, it's because so you respect money when you legitimately earn it. Is the one that you do not legitimately earn that you'd you are most likely to abuse.
Okay. At this point, let's take a break.
Okay.
We'll come back for general questions, contributions, and we'll come back and discuss specific topics like income, how to grow your income for
this
child
is like
of
a
God.
Commercial break.
Yes, so this is like a commercial break. Let's put our hands together for Mrs. Miles. Thank you, Mrs. Miles. And for Peter. So Peter will come and continue with us in the remainder of the program.
Can we put our hands together for Mr. Dollar and Mrs. Mouse? I think they can have their seats. All right, yes. Amen. Amen. I hope we've been blessed by what we've heard and we're learning. Okay, fantastic. Please note your questions and we will take them once we come back. Okay, so it's time for the second round of games. How many of us are happy? Okay, if you didn't win the first time, this is your opportunity to grab something and also prove to us that you used to read your Bible. I think that's the deeper one. All right. So as we just wait for media department, remember it's kahoots.it, right? Right, Godwin?
Yes.
Okay. Kahoots.it. The passcode will be put up on the screen shortly. Okay, winner, this is your opportunity to be a real winner, not just in name. And I hope you'll not come and beat me after service, whoever winner is. Okay, fantastic. So the new code is 592-0102. That's 592-0102. Mrs. Miles, wait. And Femi is back. Okay. Pastor Muiwa, welcome. Favor just came in. What, Michael? Somebody's name is God.
Hey.
King Jerry, okay.
How can Muiwa, Pastor, be
Baron?
And somebody is using his name again.
Twelve. I think we're waiting for three more people, all right, before we do our countdown. Quickly, can we? So that we can save time. Eniola. Okay, nice. Okay, we're waiting for two more people, right? You can't seem to enter. Are you using this code? 5920102. IG just joined. So we have 13. We still have two more people. So we'll give 20 seconds and then we do our countdown. Ah, you are in already now. Your network is failing you. So we have 13. I'm still waiting. So that we can do this quickly. We. I'm telling you, it's very simple. Okay, 14. So, can we do a countdown now? You're still signing in? Wow, okay. So, we'll give you a few seconds. Okay, can we do a countdown together? One, two, go. 20, 19, 18, 17, 15, 14, 13, 12, 11, 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, and let the games begin. All right, Godwin, first question. Boom, 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 boom. 3, 2, 1. Let's go. Oh, okay. What did Naboth refuse to sell? Palace, oxen, horse, or vineyard. Okay. We have gotten 12 answers. There's still time. If you haven't caught up, there's still time. 14, 15, boom. Ah, fantastic. So 9 of you said vineyard. 4 of you said oxen. 2 of you said a horse. Animal lovers, well done. Let's see our leaderboard. Femi is leading the pack. Next question, please. Next question. Who thought the gift of God could be bought with money? Ooh, that's one of the questions that Mr. Dola asked earlier on. So there's Peter, there's Judas, there's Philip, there's Simon. Who thought the gift of God could be bought with money? 14, oh wow, 15. 13 people said Simon. Wow, nice. Well done, well done, well done. 3 of you said Judas. I can see why, but next. Muiwa. Oh, Pastor Muiwa is top now. I know the original one is Muiwa and Pastor Muiwa, yeah. Grace. Next question. In Jesus' parable, a man whose 10,000 talent debt was written off failed to forgive a debt of how much? Oh, wow. All of you answered quickly. Okay. 15 answers now. 4, 3, 2, 1. Boom. Let's see. 8 people said 100 denarii. Wow. Bible readers. Bible scholars. Well done. Well done. Okay. I'm not going to make fun of people that didn't get it because I know this is a tough question. Next question, please. Oh, sorry. Leaderboard. Pastor Muiwa for the culture. Oh, Mrs. Miles has the highest answer streak up. She's gotten all 3 back to back. Well done, well done. Okay, I don't know where the rest of the men in this house is. Ah, okay. And whoever free is. Okay, next question. Which woman was a seller of purple goods? First of all, please. Consider what Jade is wearing as well. Just any. I know there's one person I know that will not fail this question. Lydia. Okay, so we have 9. What? Everybody. Clap for yourselves, everyone. Clap for yourselves. Wow. Okay, 6 of you should not clap. What? Let's see the leaderboard, please. Wait, oh, what's going on, guys? Up 4 places. Okay.
I'm not there.
Yeah, you're now third. You're third now. All right. So I think this is the fifth question. Next question. Okay, the fifth question now. In a parable told by Jesus, what did rich man do with his surplus of crops? Surplus of crops, what did he do with it? 10 answers, 12 answers. Ooh, look at this, look at this. Three more people. Join in. Come on, you can do this. Two more people. 14. Built larger barns for storage. Okay, 12 of us got this correct. Let's see the leaderboard. Godwin. Jerry, you have to. Kingsley is the highest. King Jerry has the highest answer streak of 5. So speed, that means speed is your issue. Yeah. Sorry. Okay. The final question. 6 of 6. Who wrote the book from which we picked the guiding scripture we use for prayers during offering? Oh man, I know who are.
Network, give me now. don't you judge network. Why? Network, why?
Everybody said, okay, wow. Two people said who? James.
I'm always on the podium, but no.
I'm so confused about the thinking behind James. Okay, wow. Next. And first on the podium, let's put our hands together for Pastor. Wait. Oh. Again. wait. Okay. Okay, so I'm going to ask something. So we'll quickly do this. I'm going to ask our winners. Do you people feel in the mood to let the remaining other two? What about you, Ms. Wait? You feel so the.
Who is first?
No, let them.
No, no, no. Who is it then? Okay, so they can do whatever they like. Okay, all right. I'm a man under authority. So, well played. How many questions were difficult? Were these questions more difficult? Were these questions more difficult? These ones were more difficult. Oh. So I'm happy. Okay, if you feel these questions were more difficult, can we see show of hands? Okay. So what we'll do is no. I'm sure the next one will be much easier. So can we put our hands together for our two winners as they come forward, and as Daniel comes to present to them? Daniel, yeah, you are presenting to them again. Pictures. No, it's first two. Pictures, please, pictures. Can we put our hands together for Mrs. Miles once again? Oh, they're different colors. They're different colors. Oh, okay. Okay, Mrs. Mouse, don't go, just sit. So that okay. We can just end since we're going to do this. All right. And then Mrs. Oh, okay, the two of them need to take a picture. I'm not happy that. Actually, sir, it's not their fault. Yeah, I know. That's why there's no questions. I say, I know you'll get it. Okay, the two of you can take a picture together. What is it? Please remember your questions will come immediately after this, and then we'll have the last one before we close service. All right? Okay. Can we put our hands together as we welcome Minister Dola for the Q&A session?
Okay, welcome back to this session. Can we have those that have questions? Can we just have them written down if you have questions, so we can coordinate it because of time. Yes, please. So maybe what we'll do is let's open the floor for two contributions while we take the questions. Just two-minute contributions. Then we'll take the questions as you take them. So based on what we have talked about so far, I'm sure there are a couple of people who wanted to say something
Did
about.
Did I say I want to talk?
Okay, if we don't have anybody wanting to make a contribution, perhaps we just.
Okay,
just
questions?
Yes, they're still writing
Benjamin
their questions.
Has,
I would like to. I wanted to have all the questions now, so we'll just treat it in bulk. Okay, in 2 minutes, let's just. Okay, she has a question.
Why is it that if you have money and you want to spend it on something, you now start thinking of another thing that you want to spend it on, and you have a difficult time spending it?
I didn't even hear.
Multiple.
Come again. I didn't hear the question properly. Oh. Let me hear it again.
I said that why is it that if you have money and you are thinking of spending it on something, then another thing comes up, and you'll be thinking of what to spend it on?
I think priorities.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
Okay. First of all, that's to show you that money is not enough. Yes, now. So money is not enough. So when, as you grow older, you do economics, what they call the scale of preference. So every time, maybe beginning of a month, you might have to write a list of your most pressing needs. So if your rent is first, that means once you get money, you have to pay rent first. So you have to be able to prioritize the things that you need to do with money. That's just simple. You can't do everything at once. So you take them in order. This month you may pay your rent. Next month you might service your car. Next month you go for vacation. You know, one after the other. Is that okay? Is that okay? All right.
Okay. Can we have this question? Okay.
For example, now. Let's say you've received your monthly salary and you want to pay your house rent, then.
Is it me you're talking about?
Shut up. I said shit from me.
Let's sit down and
talk about. Go ahead, Benjamin. Go ahead.
So you want to pay your monthly salary, then your rent. So as you want to pay it, someone else is owing you money, then you receive the news that your mom is in the hospital, that she was involved in an accident, and you know that person that you borrowed money to, that person is not really financially stable, so, and you don't have any other means to collect money, and you want to ask the person, what will you do?
How old are you again, Benjamin? Just
13.
Sorry?
13.
Okay, Benjamin. Benjamin, that's a very scenario. But you remember that we're Christians, right? And then we're talking about finances as Christians. So what I would say in that situation is you have to just pray and trust God, because you're in a dicey, not you. The person in the scenario is in a dicey situation. You will have some amount of money, you need to pay your rent, somebody's owing you and can't pay, and then your person's mom is in the hospital and also needs money. So, like I said, money can never be enough, but we must always leave the room for God to intervene. So you pray. Of course, as Christians, we are always praying. So it's not like at the point of the problem, you're not praying, but just trust that God will come through in a way that somebody can offer to pay the hospital bills and your mom gets treated for free. Your landlord might be willing to extend your rent for maybe another 1 month, because as a Christian, you are responsible to your landlord also. You have to tell him, sir, please, I really want to pay, but this is what has happened. Can I defer, or can I pay part? You know, and then God will touch him, and then he can say, okay, do what you have to do, and then I can wait for a couple of more months. So that's what I can say. Except you now want to go and borrow, you get from somebody else to do some bills. But my advice is just God, that's God come through for, yeah. I hope that works. Thank you.
Okay.
So I have a comment.
Okay.
Wait.
So questions now?
I have the mic first.
Let's still do...
Can I go ahead? So just to buttress what Mrs. Miles has said, when it comes to ability to spend, it's not necessarily, it doesn't have to do with the fact that you have all the money. There's something that has to do with the workings of favor. Like when she was trying to describe wealth, wealth is you being able to meet your need. You don't have to be the one to make the spending. You don't have to be the one to have money. It's the influence or the network that you have that, you know, counts when it comes to wealth, apart from the money you have. So there's something about the workings of favor that can actually make things happen, even when you do not have the money. So like she rightly said, you know, keying into God to help us solve our needs is more important than having, you know, the desire to amass all the wealth, thinking that once I have this money, all my problems are solved. Problems don't always get solved. There's always going to be more.
Okay, thank you very much, Mrs. Jenner. That's a very, very valid point, that with God, money is not always important. God can meet, no, what I mean is, you mustn't always have money to meet everything. God can, you know, through some workings, you know, meet some needs of yours that you don't necessarily have to use. Yes, and that's why we say, yes, that's why we say, as a child of God, you can never be stranded. You know, God can always open the way for you. Okay, so we had another question. Some other person asked a question. Okay, Jerry.
Good morning, everyone. I have two questions.
Okay.
First, it's about the savings. Yeah, so I want to know, is it the savings that is wrong or the purpose for the savings? And then secondly, talking about hard work, using your talent. Okay, I like to look at it from the music angle. Now, a lot of times we've had people that are into the entertainment industry that sing. Now, some of these people don't actually do gospel. And they started in church, you get. Now, they are out there using their talent to make money, in quotes. And then we or other people get to criticize them. And we are like, this person is serving the devil now. You get, and all of that. But these people are actually, their money is legit. If you look at it from the hard work angle, you get. So what do we say about such situations? Thank you.
Okay, so just like what Jerry has said, I'd written it down already. When you talked about hoarding, so I'd written it down, I wanted us to compare it with savings, just like what Jerry is saying, budgeting and investment. How do you, when you hoard, you talked about hoarding earlier, so how can you differentiate hoarding from these three things? And let's answer with what Jerry has also said.
Okay, first of all, savings is not wrong, right? Hoarding, you know, I explained, is the mentality behind it. And one thing that I have to debunk from us as Christians is poverty mentality. You know, Mr. Jedron just, you know, said more things now. We must leave the room for God. You cannot sort all your needs. If you think that the money you're making let me ask you a realistic question. The money you're currently earning now, is it enough for all the things you want to do? Jerry, is it enough? You see, it's not even up to half. So why do you now need to, there's a mentality I have, and often my family members, you know, laugh at me. The money I need is a lot. So someone say, you're trying to do something. Why are you still spending 50K? Why are you touching someone 50K? Because I'm like, 50K is not, it's not a drop in the kind of money that I need right now. So let's just remove that poverty mentality and just trust God. Let's use Jesus for an example. You know, we talk about as Christians, just know that you can never be stranded. And you must have that true faith in God, that God is your source. So every other thing is just secondary and complement to what God is doing for you. When Jesus was on the water, if there was a boat, Jesus would have taken the boat. Jesus was not showing off by walking on water. He walked on water because as a child of God, he's never going to be stranded. So like, those people are there. And then he didn't even think it twice. Oh, let me just go and meet them. If there was a boat, Jesus would have not left the boat and then started walking on water just to perform stunts for us to see. So, do you understand? So that's why it comes in as well. We must always know that our number one primary source is God. So it's not the money you make. Like I said, the more money you make, the more your needs increase. So there's never a point, Jerry, that even what you're making now, if it becomes times 100, I promise you that what your need will become times 1,000. So that's where the difference between hoarding. So hoarding is, let me just keep this thing so it can be enough for what I want to do. Saving is different. You're saving a percentage of or an amount out of what you're earning. You're saving it for something. vacation, for your house rent. That is responsibility. But hoarding is the mindset of, me, I can't even help you. My own problem is in my front. When your own problem, you need, you know, there's always this joke that has been passed around. It's about two people praying in church. So two people are praying. A rich man is praying like, God, 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 help me now. This contract, let me just win it. 1 million or whatever amount. And then somebody just prays beside him, God, I'm so hungry. Oh, let me just eat afternoon food. Person turns and says, how much is afternoon food? 200 naira. Man, just give him 200 naira. Stop praying. So that's me, I can, you, do you understand? Like, you, no matter how, whatever the position you are, you're still people that you can be beneficial to. So that's where I'm talking about hoarding. Like, don't just think that, oh, all this money I'm making, oh, is for me because it's never going to be enough. You discover that it's money, the money is not enough. But if you remove that poverty mentality from yourself and know that this money is not enough for what I really want to do, but if it can solve this person's problem right now, let me solve it. And then trust God. Because truly, if you don't trust God, you're not going to see God's hand. That's what, because you will not see it. Even if it's manifest, you're not going to notice that, oh, God did so, because you always want to take the glory. And say, God says that he will not share his glory with man. So if we want to share glory with God, then no problem. Keep dragging. But if you're willing, like, okay, let me just do my own part and just allow God to come. Because this thing that I'm doing is bigger than me. Sometimes we do a lot of things that we're not even sure of how we would sponsor it. But just in the long run, things will, it's not like God will draw money from you. God is not a magician. You get, he's not going to throw money from heaven. He's not going to suddenly appear money under your pillow or in your microwave or in between your Bible or any of those things. He's going to use people, and that's where wealth comes in. Your people, the connections you have is still worth. Someone just call you suddenly like, come and do this for us. And then they pay you and your money. So how come somebody's paying me? For instance, now maybe I'm trusting God for something and it has happened a lot. I use the money I have, I'm like, money will come. I know I'm a business person, so because of that, I'm open to any business coming. And then someone just calls me to come and do a kind of job. And then I tell this person how much I want, but the person pays me. So those, that's how God, you know, that's how God shows up for us. That's why you must know that your talent is from God. And taking it to talent now, the case of the musicians who are singing, secular musicians, personally, I do not think they are serving the devil. That's my own opinion. They may have started from the church and then moved out. The talent everybody is using is from God. Now, it's an abuse. Some people might abuse the talent, but now, it's not the song that they're singing that is abusing the talent. It's their character that is abusing that talent that God has given them. You get? So if you tomorrow now, you go and join Big Brother, who will vote for you? Even though people have this mentality, I don't want Big Brother, just personally. But it's not because I think it's the devil's thing. Do you get my point? But now, if I know somebody in Big Brother, I will root for the person. Now, what you do for us in Big Brother is what matters. People have gone to Big Brother and have not soiled their name out of it. For instance, Ayres, right? The guy with the afro last year. What's his name? Mike, yes. Mike Edwards. He was in, not you. He was in Big Brother, right? And then, you know, he came out. Apparently, the guy was already married. He didn't have any scandal. But he went into Big Brother and came out. So it's how we use what we're doing. So it's not about, this one is for the devil. Like I said, as Christians, everything about us is one. So there's no like, oh, let me not, so maybe someone has approached you before and say, Jerry, come and sing for us in nightclub. I say, no, God forbid, I'll never do that. I'll never take my talents and go and serve the devil. You have to let the Holy Spirit minister to you. The administration is personal, you get. So my point is how, it's not how you use that gift. Are they putting, if you say, I'm not going to use vulgar words, I'm just, if you, the words of the song are the same. If you check some people's song, the word they're using, the same dictionary words that we're using, they're just singing it in a way that people can dance to. And we now label them that they are serving the devil. No, I don't think so. So it's how we use the talent in whichever field, because we cannot saturate the church. Everybody cannot be gospel musicians. Are we going to, when you go for weddings, is this gospel song you used to dance to? So who will sing those songs? It's you that will still sing that song. So don't feel like, oh, because God gave me a talent, I must use it in church. You are also singing. My sister has said it before now. People cry for Michael Jackson when he was singing. You know, people fell under the anointing during some of his concerts because the words they are singing are just words. You know, words. Oh, and these words, they are still, everything is still from God. So that, I think that's just how I think we should look at that. I don't know if that's helpful. It is? Okay.
Do we have any other questions?
I just wanted to protest.
So we can just have a meeting and we'll take your questions. So no more questions. No more questions.
Okay. So the first question, which spoke to savings. Thank you for asking that question. And as a Nigerian right now, it is ill-advised to save. It's to save. Why? We are losing, the Naira is losing value daily. So if you save 5,000, if you've saved 50,000 Naira in February, that 50,000 Naira now, if you withdraw it, is about 35,000. You've lost 15,000 from, what you could do with 50,000 Naira in February, you will need about 60 to 70,000 Naira to do the same thing now. So if you have been saving 5,000 Naira every month, you've lost value for money. So what do you do with saving? I, for one, I have a personal bias all my life. I've never and I will never save to buy things. I don't save to buy a phone. I will never save to buy a car. I will never save to a lot of things. I don't believe in it. I believe in transactions that will bring those kind of flow for me. It's personal, does not mean that's the word of life. But in terms of saving, the best way to save is to save for investment. So what I advise people is, if you have 500, if you want to save 5,000 naira every month, at the end of that month, take your 5,000 naira and convert it to dollar. Instantly, you are preserving value. Because if you converted 5,000 naira in January to dollar, that would have given you, dollar then was about 300 naira, 300 naira to a dollar. So that would give you almost $20 thereabouts. Thank you. That will give you about $20 as of January. Now, if you want to buy that same dollar now, that gives you less than $10 with that same 5,000. But if you have $20 with you in January at 300 naira, that's 6,000, right? That $20 right now is 10,000 naira. So you've earned value. So it's good for us as to be wise, because the difference between the children of the world and the children of the church is, in these affairs, they are wiser. So bankers would always recommend, convert your naira to dollar. Once you have any cash lying fallow, convert it to dollar. It keeps value. And if tomorrow dollar becomes the naira, naira becomes the dollar, switch it. So that's how to stay ahead. And that's how you make real wealth. Otherwise, because if you are doing, I don't keep 20,000, I get 500,000 naira for bank. My brother, it will shock you. It will turn to 10K. In terms of buying power, considering the way the Naira is. So please, that is how to attack saving. Now to the second issue of talent. Somebody that keeps running through my head is Johnny Drill. I believe you're familiar with Johnny Drill. He's a diehard, sold out child of Christ. But he sings supposedly secular songs. But there are lyrics that he... it's clear that you can never give me to sing. So my audience is not to the church. When God blesses you with a talent, as Mrs. Miles was saying, your audience is not the church. Your audience is the earth. So you do not use your talent just for the four walls of a church setting. You use it to bless humanity. There are many songs you've heard. Kanye West has released some songs that, if you play it in church, is good praise songs. True or false? So the truth about it is, the message is what matters, and the character of the person delivering the message. So you can be a secular artist earning real money, but it does not have to make you sacrifice your relationship with God. So it's for you as a secular, those people in those spaces, if you have to interact in those spaces, you need to be able to know how to do the balancing act. You are not strange. The Bible mentions millions and millions of people in those dilemmas, and God gave them a way out. Someone came to a prophet of God and said, I am the right hand of the king. I appreciate your God, but when I go back to my own king, I have to follow him into his temple because I'm responsible for his protection. So when he bows to his idol, I must be there with him. I cannot not bow. But please know that even as I do that, my heart is with your king, with your God. But I am just fulfilling my duties. And that's the simple truth. Because if you are the ADC to the president, when you join the army, they don't ask you your religion, right? You keep rising in ranks, and the president is a Muslim, and they make you his ADC. You want to say you not follow the president to mosque?
I said, no, President, I know the entire mosque. I'm a child of God. It's okay. You will leave the army. You won't leave the presidency. You will leave the army. Because that's treason. So we need, as a church, as Christians, we need to be careful how we draw those lines of, oh, them, us. No. We are all God's people. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Pastor Mewa. My question, rather, was I just wanted us to, I guess, tie everything together. I'm part of church leadership, and I know we need money in church. Fact. And is a need we have, but there's also, like you said, it's not guilting, but there's always that responsibility that we should give to church, right? But at the same time, in this life, I'm not married, so I can't say I have a wife that I have to.
Yet.
Like you said. You know, there are a bunch of needs that we've talked about in all the questions, right? So how do we balance out those two? The expectation or the responsibility to contribute to what we call the work of God, and then, you know, taking care of, because like you said, those needs will always be with us. If it's not rent, it is, health bills or something of the other, or the other. You're talking to me now, advising me about my finances as a Christian. What do I do? What's the balance? How does that work?
Since we have to speak specifically about church, because the truth is, when I say responsibility, you cannot be a part of something and then you don't want to be part of its growth. You know, so naturally, I believe we all know that if you're a part of a church, it needs to grow. Just the way that in your house, you know that we need food and everything, you buy it, your parents need this. So if as Christians, number one, as Christians, we have to, if we're true Christians, you know, we'll see the Bible as a whole. We won't just take the one that suits us. You get in the Bible, it's there in Ephesians said, let he with thoughts communicate in all good things. You know. So that one is even talking about you giving to the people that are teaching you. So for instance, if we have that responsibility mindset, we'll know that if I attend this church, the church thrives by giving from the church members. We have to be mature enough to know that nobody even needs to come and coerce me or ask me that I should, you know, pass with an amount of what I'm earning, you get, to the church. That's one. And then in Matthew, when Jesus was giving the model prayer, you know, he said, give us our daily bread. So basically, what we need, if you have your daily bread, like literally, then every other thing can be used for every other thing. It still goes back to the mentality of no hoarding, because what we have is never enough. So if the church needs something, and you, as long as you're not in dire need of hunger, because the Bible says, give us our daily bread. That means basically what Jesus is really after is that you're not starving for that day. You get, and even in Psalms or in Proverbs, David was saying that, give me neither riches nor poverty so that I will not blaspheme. So if we're in that middle, every other thing around us, it's just still about impact. You know, you have to give to the church, you have to give to the people that are teaching in church, you have to give to your parents. So whatever it is you're earning, you have to have a responsibility around. What I will say is that you don't always have to say, okay, every month I want to give this particular amount to church, for instance. You just know that in a particular fiscal year that you're doing, if it's January to December you're using, or you're using your own personal calendar, don't know that when you look back, you can say that, oh, this was the amount of the money that I was able to give to the work of God, because you cannot do everything. So don't feel, oh, somebody's giving 100,000 and then me, I only gave 10,000. It's better that you give than not give at all. So don't worry about the quantity. Remember that Jesus said the woman that gave her mint, she gave the most, because she has all she had. But those other people, they had so much, but they were giving in their mind. Now, if somebody, let's even use Pastor Inka and Pastor Muiwa, for example. If they see alerts now that somebody has just paid 1 million, maybe they may not do it to the person. They're like, better person, 1 million. But somebody else just gives 500 naira. They're like, it's not 500 naira. But the person that gave 500 is God. That's the truth. So let us leave everything to God, because it is God that sees the heart. So it's God that knows who is truly giving all and who is just giving. Someone gave 1 million out of maybe 50 million, and we're hailing the person. Meanwhile, someone gave 500 out of 1,500, and we do not think this person has done more than the person that has given 1 million. So let's not use anybody as our yardstick, just what's in the Bible. And that's what I always say. It's the Bible for me.
It's not what any man says. Whatever, if a preacher says something and then the preacher is lucky that he aligns with the Bible, good. But if it's some essays they are saying about tightness, suffering, it's all, you know, some inexplicable words right now. So that's my take on that.
In conclusion, I'd like to say there's no, in the Christendom, there's no competition, right? You're not, Paul says, we're not like them that compare ourselves with each other, yes. Right? So what is just important is you are led by the Holy Spirit, and before you do whatever it is you want to do, you've just sought within yourself and you've asked questions, and in your heart you feel the release to do what you're doing. And don't be afraid about getting it wrong. You may not get it right the first time, but it's the sincerity, I think, it's the sincerity behind all this, is whether you are using your talent for whoever it is, you know, or you're using it in church, or you're giving, it's the sincerity that is in the hearts that God looks after, that God is after, and that God appraises, you know. So it's just important that we know that God is not marking you with anybody. Praise God. Okay.
Yeah, sorry, there's one final point I'd like to say about money. Just like we said, there's no need to be saying, okay, our talents just for, you know, God. God is, you know, the Bible says that you do not light a candle and put under a bed. So that means if all of us here are Christians, why are we trying to salt in ourselves? Are we going to, we're going to get over salted. So that your salt needs to be taken to the unsalted world. Do you understand? So whatever talent God is, like me now, you're saying, that you're saying, if we are looking at it from that angle, that you're saying, I should only plan Christian weddings.
Or an architect cannot build the mosque.
Do you understand? So it's because you're singing and you're now streamlining yourself. What are you saying to an architect? Should architects, if they call like tomorrow now, it's me that will follow, I'll drive him there, where he will go and build the second national mosque. You get the point. Like, so let's not look at God like he's a man. God gave us that talent for a reason. Because it's through you. You never know where somebody will know. We become saved because of you. And like Pastor Muyo said, it's about the character that you display where you are in the world. So John Drew will not take some words because he does not glorify God in his life. But Johnny Drill is a secular singer, whether we like it or not. But he's a Christian. On Sunday, he will go to church and sing. That same Sunday night, he's in the club singing. As God does not go to, but let's not look at God like man. That what I really want to say is that as Christians, we also diversify. You know, Pastor Moya talked about investments and all that. Don't think that you are boxed into one stream of income. If you have another, if you have multiple talents, you know, you can diversify your source of income, because money is never going to be enough. Yeah. But always remember that it's the love that is the problem. Money is not the problem. So let me give you an example. I started as an event planner, but I think like 2 years plus ago, I diversified into teaching. So I do events and then I teach events. So you see, it's still along the lines of things I can do, but I diversified. Miles, for instance, architect, eventually diversified into interior designing. So they are all along the same thing. So, but you won't just say, let me just sit down, I'm just being acted. Everybody knows, let people know. Because sometimes we are so worried about what people will say, why I'm already, like some of my students, they come to me, maybe they've already started some other business, and like, they are shy, they don't want people to know they're not doing it. I'm like, no, see, nobody can beef your story here. If you feel like, oh, this thing I'm doing is not selling, and I feel like I can do this, as long as you can do it and you're going to do it excellently, because there's no point, you know, doing half big things about. If you know that, okay, if I'm into, maybe I was a tailor before and I think my gift is in makeup, then please go and learn how to be a good makeup artist and diversify to makeup. You can still be doing your tailoring, nobody's stopping you. But the point is, feel free to diversify your sources of income, because the country we're currently living in, inflation, everything is going up. So you cannot just stick and say, oh, I must just stay here and just be managing. No. Meanwhile, opportunities are passing you by, like, oh, I don't want my neighbors to think I'm jealous of them. Always put in the back of my mind that what would Jesus, you know, Bible says in, I think, Timothy, that we should be examples of the believer in all that we do. So that's something that should bring your head. Okay, so if I feel like my brother is doing this business and I want to start it, how would a Christian start the business? Would the Christian can start the business in the secret and not tell his brother? No. What you should do as a Christian is meet your brother. Oh, Pastor Miles, I know you're into interior, but I think I also want to do interior. I'm just letting you know. Do you understand? That's also, it's not going to look like you were going to start the business secretly and then you're dragging. Do you get it? But nobody has monopoly of anything. The sky is big enough. Everybody can thrive. So don't feel like, oh, I have to be stuck in this particular thing that I'm doing and I can't move forward. Because if you do not attempt, somewhere in Proverbs said, hold on to this and do not leave the other, for she did not know which one will bring profit. So, yeah, that's it.
Okay. Thank you very much. All right, thank you, church. You've been a fantastic audience. We'll continue the remainder of the service. We'll put hands together for Peter as he comes to lead us. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Okay, yeah, you can take them now. Can we put our hands again together for Mrs. Miles and Mr. Dollar? Lovely, 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 lovely. All right, as we close service, as a step down, right, from the amazing things, I hope we've been blessed. I hope we've learned quite important things. But so that we don't, you know, just leave you with heavy word alone, rather, let us step down a bit with the last round of games. Right? Okay, so maybe what we should do this time is we'll do this, right? Mrs. Miles and Minister Grace. They can play. No. Okay, all right. Can we put up our new passcode? Okay, 417-7474. Right? 417. Remember, it's kahoots.it, right? And then 417-7474. 417-7474. No weakness. That's favor. Clearly. Trust. Tracy Oluwatobiloba. Okay. 6, Jax. Michael. Oh, it's not you. Sorry. I apologize. I don't know why I assumed it was you. Okay. Is that what she said? Defending champ? Tega Femi. Okay, so we're waiting for like 5 or 6 more people. Right? 417-7474. Pixie. Wow. Okay. Spicy. Okay, so that's about 13. We're waiting for like 2 or 3 more people. And then we'll do a countdown. We begin. Jesus of Nazareth. Wow. Okay. Okay, we have 15 people. Oh, 14 now. Where did that person go? What's going on? Does anybody need us to give him more time? Him or her more time? Who, me? Who's I? You know, 417-7474 dollar. That's the pin, Mr. Dollar. Sorry. Okay, are we ready? Let's do a countdown together. From 20. 1, 2, go. 20. Kahoot.it. Oh, God. Jerry. Okay. Has it loaded yet? His network. We can't wait. Okay, let's do from 20. 1, 2, go. 20, 19, 18, 17, 16, 15, 14, 13, 12, 11, 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, and let the games begin. Fantastic 4-3. This is our third set of questions. Boom, 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 boom. Okay, question 1. As Jesus watched, how much money did the poor widow throw into the church? You see, nobody should fail this one. 6 answers, 8 answers, 9 answers, 10, 11, 12, 13, 4. Okay, 14. So, 4-3. 10 of you got the answer correct, and there are still some heathen in our midst. It is well. Next question. Oh, sorry. I apologize. The leaderboard.
Oh God.
If I didn't champ from Pastor Muiwa, love it. I love it. I love this. Next question. Question two. What silver item was placed in Benjamin's sack? Yes, Benjamin's sack. Wow. Okay. This was quick. Look at this church. Happening church. Put your hands together for yourselves. Leaderboard still has defending champion. Okay. Next question. Which one of Jesus' disciples was a tax collector? Simon the Zealot, Matthew, Thomas, Judas. I said tax collector. Thomas. Next, let's just look at the leaderboard. Ooh! I did just hit answer streak three, but he's not the okay. Is okay, so he's getting them right. His speed, that is the issue. Okay, next question. Question 4 or 6. In Timothy, 1 Timothy 6:10, the writer says that. In Timothy, 1 Timothy 6:10, the writer says that, one, you cannot serve God if you love money. The love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. If you give God your money, he will make you rich, and you must share your money. 16 answers, and 14 of you got it right. Oh, I can see why. I can see why the first one was confusing. Well, let's see the leaderboard now. Defending champion Tigger. Okay, Tigger, welcome. 6 players have reached answer streak 3. Well done, everyone. Next question. I think this is the final question. Oh, 5. Sorry. When Jesus was asked if he paid taxes, what animal concealed a coin with which to pay taxes? What happened? I think his network. 16. A fish. Somebody saw that there was money in a donkey. It is well with you in Jesus' name. Maybe you should invest in a donkey business. Okay. So we have 5 players who have hit answer streak 4. Well done to all 5 of you. Who is white? Oh God. Who is white money, please? Oh man. Okay. All right. Can we move to the next question? Which of these areas is not a former or current venue for EPC Grace House? Utako. Interesting. Former or current? We'll say 2. Okay. Can we see the leaderboard, please? What happened? What happened? Trust. Well done, Trust. Nice. 2nd place defending champion. And top of the log. Brrr. Woo! So, this shows us who is reading their Bible in this church. Okay, so, question. Quick question. For the people, what was confusing about the last question? You know, that's why we say current or former. Current or former. Which is within Garki, yeah? And then some people chose Wuse 2. So, should we call Pastor Yinka to give us small history? But we used to be, I think, Pastor B's house, then Mama Cass, then Jabi. So, Mama Cass was in Wuse 2. You were there now, right? And then there was Jabi, and then here. Now let's give ourselves all a round of applause. You guys have been amazing today. Well done. Well done. All right. Okay, so can we see the podium now as we do our closing ceremony in court? Daniel, come forward. Yes. Mrs. Ojeduran had a 100% hit rate, by the way. Abby? Oh, is that not what I'm seeing there? Lovely. Wow. Into two. Okay. Let's put our hands together as we welcome. Number two was different. Mrs. Miles. My tummy. No. So we build to number one. Oh, oh, what does need help mean, Godwin? Okay, let's put our hands together for Mrs. Miles. My tummy's hurting. And for our final winner, let's put a wow. Oh, okay, he's collecting. Okay, hallelujah, hallelujah. I hope we had a wonderful time in God's presence this morning. Yeah, please, we would like to implore you, invite people to church for the remaining months, Sundays in September. Next week we're going to be talking about excellence in the new workplace. Tell your neighbor, excellence in the new workplace. So we'll have conversations. We're going to have conversations about, you know, what to do in the post-pandemic workplace, balancing working from home and then doing your duty as a Christian. And we would like you, right, to think about this. Next Sunday, here's what can make it fun for everyone. Oh. You. What? Who was just on that? My Jesus doesn't have zero. And Jack Sparrow. Wow, okay. I can't, please. Can we? Okay, all right. Media, if you get rid of the screen, it will help us. To help us focus more on Jesus. Hallelujah. All right, so we would like everyone in church, and especially I'm sure the younger ones in our midst, to find this to be fun. What is your dream career, right? What's your dream profession? Dress up as your dream profession. Yeah, think about that. And then everybody, I just said, I'm sure the young people will enjoy this a lot. Yeah, some of us are in current professions, but there are other professions we would like to wander into. Like president of Nigeria, for example. It's a serious profession, all right? So we'd like you to dress up, you know, in your, like, the costume, in quote, of your dream profession, and look forward to... It depends. It depends. You can wear your tie and your suit. There's some people who have... If anything happens to you on the way here, it's not on us. All right. Hallelujah. So please remember to invite someone, right? Remember that we're trying to show us, and I love how today's conversation went. We are Christians, yes. But the Bible says that we're, as much as we're not of the world, where are we? In the world, so we must. And I love something Pastor Miwa said. Look, he has given us talents to bless where? The earth. So we must learn a bunch of things and probably change our mindset regarding some of these things. Hallelujah. How many of us have enjoyed Fantastic Four so far? Can we rise up on our feet as Pastor Yenka comes forward to close service?